Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I hope you all are doing very, very well this week. In New York City, we kind of got a touch of fall in the air. We're getting close to the equinox, so we're about ready to transition over from summertime to autumn. I hope you caught my show last week. It was a wonderful show. We had a great guest. This week, of course, another great guest for you. And instead of talking more about the energetic kind of healing side of life, we're going to be talking more about really the business side of life today, but from a different perspective. I think you'll really appreciate my guest today. But first, of course, as you know, those who've been loyal listeners are out there know that I always start off reading a blog post from a couple of years ago. I'm just taking them in order. And today's blog post is entitled, "Confidence is not about one thing. It is about how we use our history to serve us." Building confidence is a skill, for there are many ways to look at confidence. We often do not think about where it comes from or how do we increase it. One of the biggest problems is we think confidence is only one huge thing. The truth is there are many types of confidence. We may feel confident in one area of our life and not another. Having confidence in our career, but not in our relationships, as an example. We might feel that we are not a confident person in general. Yet that general feeling is made up of lots of little feelings. We can be confident in many ways in our life that we do not recognize or take for granted. Are we confident to walk, to eat, to bathe? Do you feel confident to drive a car or get around on public transit? How do we feel about being able to use a phone or a computer, or even use a pen or a pencil? We are not monolithic. We are made up of many confidences and non-confidences. Confidence is specific to the task at hand. And confidence can also be transferred from one skill to another. Are you confident at learning a new skill? Perhaps you learned how to fix your bike when something goes wrong. Maybe now you can help someone change a tire on a car when you never did it before. On the opposite side, perhaps you tried your hand at a business and it failed. Now someone brings you a new opportunity. Because of your past experience, you don't have the confidence that you can be successful at it. Yet you feel quite confident at your job. When we stop approaching confidence as just one giant thing in our lives, we can start to build our confidence systematically. For confidence is not about ability, it is about belief. Do you believe you can do something, learn something, experience something? When we take inventory of all the things we are confident about in our life, we can build our overall confidence. If we come across something that we are not confident about, we can try to find something close to it that we are confident about. We can transfer that confidence from one activity to another. The key is finding the right activity. Confidence is not only about our history, it is about how we look at that history and how we decide to use it to serve us. So where are you lacking confidence? Is there something else you are confident about that you can use to help you build your confidence in it? So I really can't take credit for the idea behind this. This comes from my dear friend, Aman Agai. And the inspiration for this was I had gone through his Confidence Mastery Program. And it was really a beautiful weekend. It was quite transformative. But just that single concept, that single idea, that confidence is not one thing. When he opened with that, it just floored me. I was like, oh, because like everyone else in life, you know, I kind of think of either we're a confident person or we're not a confident person. And so by breaking down confidence into lots of little things instead of one big thing, it was like, oh, it's not that I'm a confident or not a confident person. I'm confident in certain things and not confident in other things. You know, my father was a statistician. I've always been good at numbers and science and math. So computers, no problem. I can figure out computers real easy. You know, I drive a car. I don't own a car, but I've driven cars most of my life. But I'm not confident that I can like fix a car, or if it broke down that I'd know what's wrong with it. I've been a public speaker for many, many years, so I'm confident when I'm on stage. But am I confident when I'm with a group of strangers who maybe have more successful than I am monetarily or in business? Probably not. You know, I just had a wonderful deep dive last week with Aman and Laura Rubenstein. We did for the Evolutionary Business Council all on AI and technology in the future and where this is going. And I'm familiar with AI. I use it a little bit here and there, but I saw these presenters who like totally using AI for their whole business and making like so efficient and being able to do things in minutes instead of hours. And I was just floored by it. Am I as confident in AI as these people are? No, they have a lot more experience than me. Does that make me an unconfident person? No. You know, there are lots of things in my life that I am not overly confident about. And then there are a lot of other things that I am confident about. And so finding this balance and being able just to say that confidence is not about one thing, that was just a huge breakthrough for me. And that's why I had to write this blog post after going through Aman's program. It was just so powerful for me. And look, I mean, again, this is his ideas. You should check out, you know, his company, Success Road Academy. If you have an opportunity to do his personal transformation work, you should definitely do it with him. He's amazing. He's a very successful businessman and a good friend. So please don't think for a moment that I'm taking credit of this for myself. However, the one piece of this that I'm not going to necessarily take credit for, but that I did bring into it, is from other teachers and from my teacher, Armand, this whole idea of the stories we tell ourselves and how the stories we tell ourselves really create our reality and our life. Marrying those two together, it's our stories around confidence. It's our stories around, you know, being good at something or not good at something. And when we can recognize those stories, right, then we can shift them, then we can change them, then we can create new stories that can help us to be more confident around something. So So sort of bringing those two concepts together is something that I did individually. So that I will take credit for. So I hope you like this blog post. I hope it was a bit of an eye-opener for you, as it was for me. Again, that's the title of the blog post is Confidence is Not About One Thing. It is about how we use our history to serve us. And of course, you can always find my blogs on the Talk Radio website at talkradio.nyc/blog, as well as on my personal branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com. All righty, I'll have another blog for you next week. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show author, founder, and CEO, Alexandra Bowden. Alex is the heart and soul behind People First Talent and Retention Consulting. Over the past decade, Alex has dedicated herself to transforming how we think about hiring and keeping top talent, all through the lens of company culture. Her journey in the corporate world saw her climb the ranks at an impressive rate, being promoted 4 times in just 4 years. She achieved this by tripling hiring speeds, cutting down turnover rates, and getting the entire leadership team engaged in a culture-first recruitment process. In 2018, she founded People First, which has since earned the title of Best in Business for 2 consecutive years. Alex is also a best-selling author, sharing her insights and hiring strategies and the challenges of entrepreneurship as a working mother. Beyond her consulting work, Alex is passionate about guiding the next generation. She leads a career development program at Northern Kentucky University, where she helps students discover their unique strengths and find the right career paths that bring them joy and success. Along with People First, she co-founded the Wellness Universe Corporate, a global initiative that integrates mental health and well-being into workplace culture for a holistic impact on people's lives. Welcome to the Conscious Consult now, Alexandra.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. I'm very glad that Melanie, shout out to Melanie for connecting us.
Yes.
Just quickly before we go to our break, how did you kind of get into this idea of sort of human resources, hiring, like this whole aspect of the people side of business?
Yeah. It was a really, excuse me, it was a really interesting, turn of events in my own life that made me realize and look at HR and business and culture very differently. And that started with me training to become a professional dancer. So I used to dance professionally. I was living in New York City. I was trying to, make it like many others before me and since me. And I was not able to sustain myself, and I wasn't really enjoying the lifestyle of kind of that starving artist. It wasn't playing into, what I envisioned for my future and having a family. And so, after years of devoting my whole life to something so disciplined and so myopic as dance, I really did not know what to do with myself when I decided not to do it anymore. And so, in your opening, when you talk about confidence and the stories we tell ourselves, my whole story, my whole life was I'm a dancer, I'm a dancer, I'm a dancer. And so when I'm not a dancer anymore, it's like, well, then what am I? I have no idea. I don't know who I am now, when I remove this quintessential aspect of my life. So, going through that discovery process and trying to figure out how the skills that I had built over the years could translate into a corporate setting, not having enough money to go back to school because I had this really fancy dance degree that I was paying, $1,000 a month in loans for already, and couldn't afford. So I ended up finding a role at a marketing company, and very quickly myself and a handful of others became, what they deemed as top performers, but we were not the profile of who they said they wanted to hire. And so when I started digging a little bit deeper and understanding, well, why are we looking for this profile if our top performers are from, XYZ different backgrounds? I realized that, the way we're looking at hiring in this script or this very predetermined way is just not it. Like we're missing a huge piece. And then just bring my own element of, thinking that I was going to sacrifice my dream for some soul-sucking corporate culture and environment at a desk all day, and then finding this organization that one took a chance on me, two built into me and allow me to kind of pursue and grow and develop other strengths, and three was really enjoyable to show up to every day. Like everyone was smart and capable and fun to be around, and I loved what I did, and I didn't think I would find that again after dancing. I realized there's something there, and how do I tap into that in other places? Because we all deserve, to have multiple careers, and we all deserve to build our unique strengths and talents and have them, kind of reflected back to us in an environment where we thrive.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, wonderful. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about you had this experience, you're in this environment. What got you to kind of switch over and say, oh, I want to make this what I'm all about and what I'm going to do? Excuse me. When we come back from break, okay?
Great.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Alexandra Bowden, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Alexandra Bowden, the founder and CEO of People First. Alexandra, you talk a lot about company culture and the environment, and it was a lesson I also learned at a relatively young age, because I just remember my first job while I was still in college, I was a bank teller. And working in the branch, it was a really interesting environment. It was almost like a little family, and people were all very supportive of each other, and it felt really good. And then I transferred out into another department at that bank that was also, a really good environment. And then I saw like people were saying, oh, you know, to get ahead in banking, you got to change banks and stuff. You can't just move up inside one company. And I said, okay. And I knew a bunch of people went to this other bank. So I went to this other bank. I got this job. In the beginning, it was okay. And then I got transferred under this guy I did not trust. I was in this really like shark infested water environment. And it made such a difference. And I was like, oh no, I'm not, this is not for me. I can't stay here. And I think I'm like, in just over a year, in 13 months, I like, found, talked to a recruiter and I was out of there. And it really was such a stark contrast to me because it was such a big contrast of what it was like to be in an environment where you felt supported and you could trust the people you with into an environment where I did not feel supported. I did not trust the people I was with. And so I'm curious. You know, having been in this marketing company and feeling like you enjoyed it and like you had something after your dance career, you know, experiencing that environment is one thing. Lots of people experience it, but what was it that got you to kind of or put you on that path of like, no, I want to make this my thing that I do in life?
Yeah, I think it was a multitude of things. It was like building blocks, because I also had experienced a lot of different working environments prior to then, because obviously I held multiple jobs, while growing up and building my career. But I'd been with leaders that were toxic. I'd been with leaders that stole money from me. I'd been with some of those extremes, and then I was in this opposite extreme environment. Where I felt like, it was out of a dream. But at the same time, that's how it felt for me. That was my experience within the organization. And I started having people over time coming to me and sharing different experiences within the organization because their particular leader didn't operate in the same way, right? Or, things were not consistent throughout the organization, or one thing was handled in a really poor manner that turned them off. And so I started becoming interested in how do we drive consistency across an organization so that culture is the same for everyone and works for everyone. But also in the question of, the culture might be a fit for one person and objectively good, but not necessarily the right fit for somebody else. And so there's definitely, when we talk about culture, there's the range. There's for sure toxic cultures, right? And objectively toxic cultures. There's sure objectively strong positive cultures, but there's also a lot of things in between. And what I find most often is that culture is not felt throughout the organization in the same way because there's no actual intentional plan of this is how we behave and this is what we're driving through the organization at every level. And so as I started building and solving these challenges one-off and trying to build an infrastructure and a system to create these things, I started seeing a lot of positive change. The other thing I saw was the leadership at the time. There was, one or two people that I was coming to, and they were causing blockages to changes that I knew needed to happen because they were not of the same value system or mindset. And when new leadership came in, all of that shifted very quickly. So it began to have me, forming a lot of questions in my mind about like, how do I systemize this for other organizations? How do I solve these seemingly common problems? And then what really took that into now I need to go do this myself was more of a personal journey. I had my first child, and it was becoming a struggle to find balance. Wanting to deliver 200% for my company, wanting to deliver 200% for my child, having to travel a lot. And I just realized, if I'm going to be putting in this much energy and effort, let me do it in my own way and serving a lot of different companies and really changing, more lives for the better. If I'm going to be away from my son, than just this one company where I'm coming into, consistent blockades, with the same people. And I have very little control over what gets done.
There was a gentleman who used to do a couple of different shows on the network, Larry Sharp, who was an executive consultant and coach. And I remember he used to say that culture will eat strategy every day of the week. And that 100%. And that organizations that were struggling, they're always looking for like some new strategy instead of looking at what's going on in the culture of the organization.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this is kind of related to what you were just talking about, that the culture really has to start come from the top down. Like the leadership really has to buy into the culture and buy into the way of treating people and the type of atmosphere, because if the leadership doesn't, then it's just never going to go anywhere, is it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it can start and it can die with the leadership. And I think the challenge people have is the filtering down and the creating consistency and habits. So when we talk about culture and the way we approach it, it's not some, you know, ambiguous thing. It's not some values being written on a page or on the wall. It's how do we operationalize behavior change? You know, it's change management. It's how do we systemize and operationalize building habits that make small shifts and changes over time. And it starts with the leaders, but you have to get everyone on board because it involves everyone. Everyone makes up the fabric of an organization. And as people evolve and change over time within that organization, the organism itself changes. As you add people, as you take people away, the organism itself changes. And so culture has to be very intentional and it has to be systematized in order to feel the effects and the change. And that piece is most critical and also the most often missing.
Yeah. And also like, you know, an organization, like anything else, it's not a monolithic thing. It's made up of people and different people have different ways of doing things. And my experience is people usually don't like to change that much. So if there's a certain culture in place, and then someone like yourself comes in and it's like, hey, let's change the culture. We can make this a better place. Even though we can improve things, I imagine you must meet a lot of resistance, like not just from the top, but like throughout the entire organization. So how do you deal with that resistance? How do you get past that resistance, even though people might know, like, yes, this is something that actually is going to benefit everyone, but still there's going to be resistance?
Mm-hmm. That really involves kind of taking it from a project management, change management lens of, you know, we're going to do this incrementally and we're going to make a very clear roadmap. We also make sure that we have buy-in from all levels at the beginning. So even though it's kind of starts and ends with the leadership team, everybody has to buy in because we're defining behaviors that we want to see on a day-to-day basis. And if, you know, Sally is just not that person, then Sally is probably going to need to go, you know, and it feels harsh, but we have something we call coaching up or coaching out. And at the end of the day, when we agree that this is what we want to create, it doesn't mean Sally's a bad person for not fitting that profile. It's just that, you know, Sally did great stuff up until now, but she's not going in the same direction that we want to go. And so we need to take a look at that. Maybe she's not the right person to carry us into this new framework. And so, you know, that's the piece that turns people's stomachs a little bit, that they don't expect to have to make those hard choices when they talk about becoming, you know, an intentionalized cultural workplace. And you do, you either coach people through the process or you coach them out if they can't get on board.
Right. That just because they've been there for a certain amount of time doesn't mean that they're necessarily still a good fit for the change that's happening or where things
Correct.
Are going. And that happens whether it's a positive change or a negative change, right?
Absolutely.
Things change all the time. Environments change. The industries change. And so, yeah, it's not an easy thing. I had been in positions in the past where, you know, I had to fire people, and it's not a comfortable thing. Nobody likes to fire anyone. But sometimes it's necessary. But I think what can make the difference is giving the person the support in helping them transition to the next thing. Like I did some seminars years ago on how to start your own small business, that this outsourcing firm, that this company hired the outsourcing firm for the people it was laying off, that if they were interested in sort of becoming an entrepreneur, like how they could get started. And I thought, wow, like what a great thing. They're actually providing training to help people to sort of whatever the next thing is that they want to do. And yeah, sure, being a business owner is not for everyone, but at least for those that were interested, they had access to some great information. So that, I think, that type of attitude can make a huge difference in helping people transition, right?
Absolutely. And honestly, when it comes down to it, the way you bring people in and the way you send people out says a lot about your culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to make sure that you're being consistent in how you handle things and how you're supporting people, whether they're leaving you or joining you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, it's time to take our next break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about just sort of the business environment in general and whether it's more open to these kinds of ideas of culture and how it's treating people compared to the past. Like how have things since over the time that you've been doing this, what kinds of shifts and changes have you seen, and like what direction are we going? Okay, Alex?
Great.
Awesome. Everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour is Alexandra Bowden, founder and CEO of People First, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy Gee, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Alex, I'm sure you're all on top of this. The reports of how many jobs in the tech industry have been lost, and companies laying off people right and left. And in the past, you know, the typical posture that companies made is when they were laying off people, when times were tough, HR was usually one of the first services to get cut. And I'm just curious, like in today's environment where we're more competitive than ever before, like almost every company is working on a global basis because so much is virtual now. Do you find companies are more open to the conversation around culture or less open than they were in the past?
I believe that they are more open to the conversation, but they are still not as quick to invest in it. So that's a different thing, right? Because it's kind of being shoved down people's throats, you know, it's like culture, culture, culture is the buzzword of the last couple years. But it's still very ambiguous of what that means. And when it cannot translate quickly into dollars and cents, people have a hard time putting money towards it. Yeah. The same way with HR. It's a nonprofit generating role, but you need HR. It's the glue of the organization. So they manage your people capital. And so when we don't have a clear idea of what to do with something and there's no quick and easy fix, we tend to just shove it aside. Or we shove it onto the plate of a person or mm-hmm. a department. Like, this is HR's problem to solve. Well, HR can lead it, but every individual needs to be working on it, right? Because it's a people problem. So everyone mm-hmm. in the organization is a person and needs to be working towards a similar goal. Just like, you know, business development and making goals within an organization is not just sales. Sales mm-hmm. makes the sales calls. They bring the leads. But if people are not delivering for the clients, you're not going to make your goals. Right. So it's an everyone problem. And we like to relegate it to one individual or one team. And that's also where I think right now an interesting discussion has come up where people are slashing DE&I programs.
Yes.
And that's simply because, you know, we had a lot of check the box programs in place where, great, we put a DE&I person in there and they're going to fix the problems. Oh, they didn't fix the problems? Then why did we invest in this? It wasn't worth mm-hmm. it. Well, it was a check the box solution. You know, we checked it right. off the list, but we didn't actually integrate something holistic to solve the core challenge versus addressing symptoms. Right. So that's the big question and issue I come up with a lot.
Right, right. I'm curious, are there particular industries where the companies are more open to work on culture than other industries?
I find definitely tech, definitely financial services, mm-hmm. Sometimes the more creative industries like ad companies or marketing companies. And I believe there is a correlation there. And, you know, I didn't run statistics on it, but I do believe just, you know, qualitatively that there's a correlation there between the more competitive industries versus the ones that are not. So, for example, we find many manufacturing companies or, you know, industries like that are a little bit more behind the eight ball or less mm-hmm. interested in investing in culture. And they're dealing with more hourly workers. You know, they're dealing with more people that maybe can seem a little more disposable. But right. in the professional services realms, and particularly the industries that have a lot of very competitive hiring needs, mm-hmm. They're having to, you know, upgrade and they're having to really compete on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm. If there's someone listening to this interview and they work at a company and maybe they're not an HR, maybe they're just a middle manager or someone, and they hear this talk about culture and they feel like their company, you know, hasn't really even given it a second thought yet, what can that person as a worker in the company do to kind of at least raise the question or raise the conversation around culture to bring it to people's attention?
That's a great question, Sam. I think sometimes the word culture itself is not a good place to start because mm-hmm. it feels fluffy. Mm-hmm. And so what I would instruct someone to do is, you know, find the right ear or a core group of people and start asking questions like, are we all doing business the same way? Are we doing business with our clients the way that we want to, or are we leaving up to people to decide how they interact with our clients and how we reach our goals? Because it really is a business solution and a business problem we're trying to solve. We're trying to make sure everybody is behaving in the same way. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're the same person, right? But mm-hmm. if we give an example of how do we approach customer service, right? Are we approaching it in a way where we agree we're going to deliver above and beyond? We're going to deliver quickly. We're going to deliver accurately. We're going to do it in a way where we're solving the genuine problem and not just giving them what they say they want. So we're being consultative in how we're solving their problems. You know, are we making sure that we are engaging in a friendly way and being proactive with our communication? Like, just defining how we interact under one category. If you can't do that off the cuff, then there's probably more there that you can start working with your leadership team on understanding how do we do business and how do we want to interact with each other every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really just about how do we show up in the world as an organization, right? And I imagine that's true not just for for-profit business, but nonprofit businesses as well. You know, now there's a lot of benefit corps and other kinds. I'm wondering, are there different culture considerations depending on the size of the organization? Like if you're a small business versus a mid-sized business versus a large business, are there different things that you need to take in consideration when it comes to culture, or is it just kind of like the same, just on a different level?
That's a great question. I would say there are some things. So for example, the bigger the ship, the harder it is to turn.
Yeah.
Right. So if you've got 15 people, it's a lot easier to have the conversation and make sure everyone's on the same page and start putting change in place right away. If you have an organization of 10,000 people, that's going to take a lot more planning. It's going to take a lot more checks and balances. It's going to take a lot more systemization and rolling out and change management, because you're going to have more people that, you know, it needs to filter down to, that need to adopt it over time. And what are those checkpoints to make sure we're adopting it properly? So it's definitely a bigger haul to roll that out at a much larger organization than it is for a smaller one. A smaller one's going to be more nimble. However, what I would say is that the smaller ones are the ones that need to start considering it sooner, because every person they bring on board is going to have a significant impact on the culture versus one that's a little more watered down and that framework exists more heavily. So it can be both. But at the end of the day, it is about driving behavior and driving habits and having a clear path and vision that everyone can get behind. And that's the same regardless.
Mm-hmm. You know, little thing, I'm kind of proud of the culture we have here at talkradio.nyc. And one of the things which I learned from someone a long time ago that I implemented, not necessarily from the beginning, but for a number of years now, at the beginning of all our meetings, we go around the room and ask people what they're grateful for today.
I love that.
And we start that. And whether it's an internal meeting of just our staff, or it's getting our hosts together and giving them updates, we have them do it too. So that creates a certain feeling, a certain environment, a certain way of showing up that just is more supportive and is more people first in a certain way, I guess you could say.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a way that you've systemized it.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah.
You've defined what you wanted and you're working it into your meetings. That's a way to operationalize culture.
Interesting. Cool. All right. It's time for us to take our last commercial break. This is such a fascinating topic. I could go on with you for hours. But when we come back, I would like to touch upon the wellness universe. Like, what was that all about? And kind of, I'd love to get some reflections about where do you see things going with culture, with all the changes happening. And I mentioned AI before. You know, the business is changing at a pace faster than ever before. So I'm curious, from a culture perspective, where you see things going from here. Okay.
Great.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour has been Alexandra Bowden, founder and CEO of People First. And we will be right back to wrap it all up and finish up the show. Stay with us.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy Gee, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Alexandra, in addition to People First, you have another passion known as the Wellness Universe. Tell us about that. How did that come about?
Yes, that is a baby I launched before I knew I was having my third baby.
Aha, three.
So, yes. So, that actually came to me through my partner with the Wellness Universe, Anna Pereira. And she and her husband had owned and worked with different sports teams and other organizations, and saw how broken it really was behind the scenes. And ultimately, you know, all of those teams are companies as well. They're organizations with people that run them in the background. So she started to realize, you know, there needs to be more here, because what she had created with the Wellness Universe was really an incredible platform for practitioners. But she realized that there's a core problem that needs to be solved that is not done by one-off practitioners. And that's where she brought me in, because I, you know, like to have a holistic approach. I'm not really interested in addressing symptoms. I really want to understand what is the core problem and how do we fix it. So with the Wellness Universe corporate, what we have been launching is a corporate solution for like either sports or larger, more enterprise organizations, where we can get in and evaluate not just the individual's needs and priorities to get well or be their best selves, but also the environment in which they're working. Ultimately, to me, if someone is doing their best, you know, to avoid burnout and be healthy and have, you know, good emotional wellness and balance, but they're in a toxic work environment, good luck.
Yeah.
Right. So you really have to approach it from both sides. And I think, you know, typically when we talk about wellness in corporate solutions, we're looking at one size fits all, again, check the box, you know, solutions of we're going to do a steps challenge or we're going to do a healthy eating contest. And it's great. That doesn't apply to those most vulnerable moments that people are having by themselves, what they really need and want in their life. And getting them access to those resources, it also doesn't address the environment they're showing up in every day and how that affects their well-being, both internally and with their family at home.
Right.
So this is a solution that hopefully will address, with a psychological-based tool, both of those sides of the coin and address it holistically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate that, because I find in today's world, we so much relegate things into silos, like everything's its own little thing. And we don't often take a holistic view. We don't look at the whole picture, the whole person. Like even our medical system, right? It's so good at treating symptoms, but not the whole person, compared to like Eastern medicine. Like you go to an acupuncturist, he's not just looking at one system, he's looking at your whole body and your whole thing, not just a little piece.
Exactly. And that's sometimes we end up creating more problems, right? And you use that analogy of our medical system. People end up being on all sorts of drugs to combat, you know, one problem, and it causes another problem, and you need to take another drug to fix that problem, and then another one, and it just compounds. Right. When really what you might need are a couple, you know, lifestyle shifts and then some support over here and a little support over there if you're looking at it as the whole individual. And it's a problem we have, I think, because it's overwhelming. And not everyone's brain works that way. I'm looking at my brain kind of naturally sees the forest of the trees. You know, I kind of view things in that way, but that's where I get excited about helping people break them down into bite-sized pieces and bite-sized steps, so it's not so overwhelming. Because when we see that big ship that needs to turn, it's like, I don't know where to start. And so it's easy to push it to the back burner and not make it a priority.
I want you to unwrap your crystal ball. With what you've seen in all your years of experience working with businesses, and now we're at a point where business is changing faster than ever before. Mm-hmm. In terms of culture, where do you see things going in business in general for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years? Is it something that's becoming more important, less important? Is it something that you believe leaders will really do more than just pay lip service to? Or is it something that most people, leadership is, oh, it's just a fad, and well, like you said, check the box and then don't worry about it?
Yeah, I think two things are going to happen. I think a common thing that's going to happen is with the, you know, kind of quick evolution of AI, we're going to start creating more time for people. It's going to automate a lot of things. It's going to clear people's desks or reduce the amount of time it takes to complete tasks. And so leaders are going to do one of two things with that. They're either going to fall into the pitfall of, great, now we can downsize and be more lean because we don't need all these people to do these tasks. And that is going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to have more of a forward-thinking understanding and realize now we actually have time to focus on our human interactions, because that is something you cannot outsource. Yes. And I think we realized that from the pandemic, right? Like there is nothing that can replace human interaction. And when we're talking about solving people problems, you need people for that.
Yes.
And you cannot use a robot for that or automation for that, right? So I am hoping that more leaders than not will have the foresight to realize AI can be a very powerful tool to reduce some of the workload and burden that our leaders have right now, of trying to do it all and therefore not doing anything well, and create the space to really focus on being a leader. You know, how do I pour into my people? How do I be intentional and strategic about it? But I think what might happen is that many companies are going to see that as an opportunity to go lean, and they're going to start cutting. Yeah. And they're going to feel the pain of that, because at the end of the day, we are working with and through people. And that should be our number one investment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Seth Godin, the marketing guru, he often says that, like, customer service is not an expense. It is a profit center, because the better you support your customers, your employees, you know, the better environment you create, the more it pays dividends and loyalty and everything else. And it's a shift of perspective. It's a shift in mindset. But before we close out the show, I'm just curious, having started off as a dancer in your life, how has what you learned as a dancer serve you in being the CEO of People First today?
Wow. I think in a couple of ways. One, the discipline. I, you know, without the discipline of dancing, I think I'd be all over the place because I, you know, ADHD brain, like I have all these big ideas and passions and the ability to pivot very quickly, but sometimes channeling that can be a challenge. So the discipline has helped me a lot. But I think one of the biggest takeaways I've learned from being a dancer that served me is being able to creatively problem solve and think of things in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so I've become very open-minded over the years, and I've learned that not everything is as it seems. Yes. And there's multiple ways to view things. Mm-hmm. And I think that allows me to serve a multitude of companies across industries and a multitude of personalities and leaders on their level. Mm-hmm. Instead of coming in and, you know, placing my thoughts and ideas on them of like, okay, let's try to understand where you're coming from and your unique position, and how do we take that and work with that?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Alexandra, it's been a pleasure having you on my show today. It's been wonderful. If our audience wants to learn more about you and your company and what you do, where do they find you online? How do they get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me, you can contact me on LinkedIn, or you can even visit our website. It's www.choosepeoplefirst.com. And we have some great resources and content we're putting out to even just start with and dabble in. Or you can contact me directly. I'm open to having a chat with anyone. I love this stuff. So.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And if you ever come back to New York City, let me know. We'll get together for a cup of coffee or something.
I would love that. It's my favorite city.
Yay. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. I so appreciate you all coming week after week, listening in, downloading the podcast. Don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and all over and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And you can find us on all the podcasting platforms, Apple and Google and Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.